Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the fifth installment of Stuck Inside These Four Walls. And this is a monthly series that we do with a couple of friends of two legs. And joining us today is Beatley Tone and Joe Mayo. And, of course, my co-host and co-founder of Two Legs, Mr. Tom Hunyadi. Good afternoon.
Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon. Good evening. And if you're in the UK like Tony is right now, you're watching Glastonbury. And we might get an appearance from our kid. Well, Tony, you'll have to let us know if Paul makes an appearance tonight while we're doing this.
Okay. Well, I haven't got it on while we're doing this. So I won't know. But if someone has, they might say in the comments, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. If you're watching this at the same time, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know if there's a Macca appearance, because we are 1 year anniversary now from the appearance of Paul's now legendary epic Glastonbury show, and that was his last performance to this date. So Nick's watching, so Nick will let us know if we see. So that'll be very interesting. We'll have to keep our eyes on that and see how we're doing. How are you, Joe Mayo?
Good. How are you all?
Very good. Thank you.
Joe, Mets lost 7-6 after leading 6-3. Shocker.
Oh, no big deal. I don't watch baseball. I'm a fair weather fan. I only watch when they have a chance. I haven't watched a game this season yet.
Yeah, I've watched a couple innings myself. So
that's that game that's like rounders, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Be thankful you all don't play that in the UK, Tone, because
it's funny you should say that, actually, because my football team, like British football team, our stadium is being used to host a baseball tournament. To host a baseball tournament. They've changed all the pitch, so it's
for an American pitch. Baseball game.
Yeah.
Who's your local club? Who do you root for?
What football? You mean?
Yeah.
West Ham and my
proper
team. West
Ham. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So those of you who maybe have not tuned into this, or you have, just a reminder: what we do is we come up with a one question each to kick around to the other panelists that we ask. That could be about collecting, music habits, things that you like. Hypotheticals are always a big one. You know, what would you do if, or take, you know, Tone always has a classic penchant for a killer game. He's always played the last few episodes where you take one out and it's a really tough game to replace it with, but it's fun. We kick it around and then we open it up to you guys after we kick it around ourselves, and we will go through the comments and highlight your questions for the panel to go through and do it for about an hour or so. We do it once a month and we have a lot of fun doing it. This is the third time we've done it live now. The first two were pre-recorded, and we're happy to be back here at the end of June for this fifth installment. So without any further ado, I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Tom Hunyadi, to let him ask the first question.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. Thank you. You know, been jonesing to watch the rooftop performance again, and I finally did earlier today. You know, I pulled out the Blu-ray and finally put it in the Blu-ray player and blast it up. I got a really great sound bar in it. I mean, it just sounded phenomenal. So my question is concerning the rooftop performance. And I want to know from the three of you, and I'll answer last, is what is your favorite performance on the rooftop? You know, obviously there's three get backs. There's a couple Don't Let Me Downs. It could be, you know, one after 909, doesn't matter. So the Tone, I guess you lead this off. What is your favorite performance up on the roof?
Mine would be Don't Let Me Down. I'm not sure which one is which. The one that was in the original you know, the Let It Be film, I think, where John just really goes for it and all his hair is blowing. It's fantastic. Right. So Don't Let Me Down will be my favorite song from that session, you know, that performance.
Right.
Sure. Cool.
Okay.
Joe, how about you?
I've always liked the first song, the first time they're singing Get Back, opening up the show and getting all excited right at the beginning. I think that's a phenomenal version. I just love how they're all into it. You're just getting into seeing them on the rooftop. This is the beginning. This is the start of the whole show. But I just love it. I think there's a lot of energy there, and Paul's really getting into it. Love it.
Great. I'm going to choose I've Got a Feeling. I think that's my favorite one during of the whole show. The great banter between, yeah, it's a great, interplay between John and Paul, of course, sharing co-lead vocals on that track. One After 909, certainly up there as a rock, good rocking tune. They have a lot of fun on that song. But I would say definitely for me, it's for my money, it's I've Got a Feeling. Tom?
Yeah, that's a good one. Get Back's a good one too. I'm going with the second performance of Don't Let Me Down. I mean, that's the one where Tone, I think Tone, I think that's the one you're thinking of. I mean, that's the one where the cops are come out, Paul turns around and he's got a huge smile on his face and he's very excited. I love to see that. And then he also gives like a little hip twist, a little number there during, one of the verses from that's John singing. All of them seem like they're having a great time with this as they see the police, arrive, and they don't know if they're going to be, pulled off the roof or not. But that one is definitely, I think, is top notch stuff there, just because of the excitement factor of, the cops coming in and, could that be it?
Well, Paul would have loved that for the ending of the film. Good ending for
Oh,
the film.
absolutely.
Good ending
Good
for the
ending,
film.
yeah.
I'm sure they were really disappointed that the cops didn't literally drag
Right,
Ringo
take him off
off his
them. Right,
drumstool.
yeah.
Yeah.
Dragged him away, kicking and screaming.
Good choices and good question there, Tom. Good first question. All right, we're going to kick it down. We're going to kick it across the pond to our friend Tony. Tony, your question for the panel.
Okay, so my question is, there's been like quite a lot of talk about getting a cleaned up version of the Star Club Hamburg album. And there seems to be quite a bit of appetite for it. And I just wondered what the panel thought about cleaning that up, because obviously it's got historical value, but as a performance, it's not great. And I'm just wondering like how how clean they could get it, bearing in mind, it's quite tinny and they didn't have great amps and guitars and stuff like that back then. I just wondered if you feel that it's more of a, kind of a lot of hot air. Oh yeah, it'd be really brilliant to get the Star Club Hamburg, but really it's a performance mainly of cover versions that they did better later on. Just wondering what you think if there is some good value in spending the time in cleaning up the Star Club tapes.
Good question. Let's kick it over to Joe. What say you?
Well, I have a lot to say about this.
Not too much because we're going
I
quick.
have to.
Not
I was
well, we're going quick. We don't have any time for those rants. You got your own channel for that.
I was going to make a video about this in December of 2022, but forgot about to do it, but because for the anniversary, whatever. But anyway, it's never been a favorite of mine. I think historically, I want to have everything we can, so I like to have it because it's historical. Whether they can clean it up enough, I don't know. There's not much there quality-wise to begin with. Can they really take nothing and bring it up? I don't that much. I know they've improved it somewhat up to this point. But the thing about that performance to me is, and it's funny, good timing, Tone. I just saw a book today with a picture of with Pete Best earlier in '62 at the Star Club. I never saw the photo before from Star Club, and they were all wearing matching white shirts. So what I mean by that quickly is that it's not as valuable as everybody thinks because it's not the Beatles in 60 or 61 with Pete Best. It's got Ringo on drums. They'd already released Love Me Do. The matching shirts, they're probably already wearing their suits. It's not the leather. So it's like, Hamburg light. But I'd like to have it rather than not. But I just am not thrilled with it because I'd rather have something with Pete Best than those days when they really were cooking in Hamburg.
Good point. good point. I think anything of Beatles material is of value, especially then. I'll continue. I think with the use, and somebody mentioned this, of Peter Jackson's MAL technology, machine assisted learning. I think because you listen to Star Club tapes, you hear the dishes, you hear stuff, you hear everything in the club going on. I think if the MAL technology can be utilized well, then it's absolutely an essential recording. Joe, I get your point that it's not, it's Ringo's, it's, you want something from the Pete Best era. I understand that. But listen, anything to get from that period where the Beatles were truly a kick-ass live band, and in John Lennon's own words, you know, that was when the Beatles, that's when the Beatles were really a live act. By the time they came to America, they were already dead.
But was he referring to that time, or, you know, I don't know.
He's referring 60, to pre-America. 61 and, yeah, six, I mean, it's 62, yeah. So it's, but he's referring to pre-America, you know, Beatles. So that, if that could be cleaned up, that would be, you know, then there's some really good tracks. You've got Ask Me Why on there. You've got Paul doing I'll Remember You, which is a great track. So if that could be cleaned up, I think that would be
Your Feet's fantastic. Too Big.
Your Feet's Too Big. Hallelujah, I Love Her So. I think those would be great additions. If that Peter Jackson cleaned up the Star Club tapes, absolutely, Tone. Yeah, I think they would be. Thomas? Okay.
I've got a whiskey barrel right over here on top of my desk, and I feel like that this is taking the lid off of it and scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I don't necessarily know if this is necessary. I mean, is it historic? Yes. Should we have it? Maybe. But I don't know if it's necessarily necessary if we need it or not. Yes, it would be interesting to see what they can do with it, how well they can clean it up. But I say, you know, Nick kind of beat me to this one. It's maybe it's best to just let this one be, and find other things. You know, let's get the Beatles cartoons out first before we worry about this.
Absolutely, I'd much rather have the Beatles cartoons.
Yeah. You know, so, but then again, you know, I mean, it's, I mean, thanks to Mel, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that could be possible future releases. And maybe this could be one of them. For me, I'd say my excitement level on that right now is probably a 3 or a 4.
You'd get it though.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think if they could be cleaned up, there's some real gems in there.
Right. But it's not my favorite era of the group, you know. Not. So
that's a shame because so many people knew them as a band that was just awesome on stage. And we have the American view of how successful the Beatles were, but to have seen the Beatles in 61 or 62 before they were huge, even in England as a whole, I think that's a recording that is 100% warranted. I mean, I respect it. Right. You think it's scraping the battle, but so many people love the Beatles in that incarnation before they even became big, you know? Mm-hmm. So
that's the Pete Best incarnation. You know, they already had, they already did Love Me Do. Love Me Do was already released a few months prior to that.
But they were still playing. They were still kick ass band. You know, they weren't, I don't think they were in suits yet.
I think that's why I saw a book today that had a picture that I've never seen of the Beatles in Hamburg, but it wasn't December. It was earlier before Ringo joined sometime in Hamburg in 62, it said, and they had like matching white shirts and pants on.
Right.
They didn't have, the leather.
Yeah. Tom referenced the Star Club tapes get a fair bit of press because PJ brought them up. The priorities at the time seem to be elsewhere. Yeah. They did. And they were in suits then. Thank you, Russ. Thought so.
So they were all, they probably, I'm just saying, it's, hey, look, to reiterate, I would rather have it, you know, it's great. If you're going to put it out, have it out. Let's have it as good as possible. It's historical.
Right.
It's
yeah.
I'm just not as wild about it as I would have been otherwise if it was earlier.
I have a feeling the people that saw them lived over there then would disagree with us Yanks, but that's just me. Joe, over to you for your question.
Tone didn't really answer his own question there.
Oh, Tone, I'm sorry. That's Thank you, Tom. Tone, please let us know what you think.
That's okay. Well, you know, I've had that album since it came out. I bought it when it came out. I reckon I could count on one hand the amount of times that I've actually played it. It's quite a difficult listen. I would like to hear it really cleaned up and, you know, be able, you know, to return to it more often. I think it has got some historical value, but I think I would be, like Tom said, it's not my favorite era, and it depended on what had to be sacrificed to put in the amount of work to get that cleaned up. I think, you know, I'd rather have other things before that, in other words. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we'd like to get a couple other things before that. Yeah. All right, well, good question, Tone. Thank you for submitting it. Over to Back to America. And Joe, it's your turn.
All right. Well, we may have had this question. It sounds like generic enough, but I don't know. Can you come up with a Beatles song or a solo Beatles song? You can pick either one. That everyone seems to really love. Most of what you hear is always good about it. Everybody seems to like it, but for some reason, you always find yourself on the other side saying, "I just doesn't do that much for me." Ooh. You know.
Okay, so a song that's universally loved, but you, as a Beatle fan, are like, "Ah, enough of it," kind of question.
And it could be, well, not just enough of it, not necessarily tired of it, but you never really liked it much, and it could be a solo song or a Beatles group song. You could pick either one.
Mm. Okay.
You know, sometimes it takes a while.
Well, off the top of my head, I'm going to, because it's the rotation's up to me, and we'll kick it to Tom.
Yeah.
I'll go right off the top of my head, Yellow Submarine. I can't stand that song. So I know people like that one, we could skip. So solo-wise, Let Me Roll It. I've heard enough of that. I don't need to hear that again. But those are the only two off the top of my head I could think of.
And you could pick one or the other. You know, you don't have to pick both.
Right. Yeah. I would say Yellow Submarine for
me. If you have to, go ahead.
I'll say Yellow Submarine. Yeah. Tom?
All right. Well, you took mine, but I have plenty. And I might get some virtual tomatoes for this, and that's fine. But and I can't believe I'm going to say this, because I do kind of like it, but in a way I kind of don't. And that is George's What Is Life?
Yeah, I love it. I love the question.
I look, it's a good song, but it just doesn't excite me as maybe other you know songs from George on that album do. Okay. Maybe it's just you know, I don't know, but what is
well, you're the movie guy. Was that not flawlessly used in Goodfellas or what?
Yes,
I'm not saying it wasn't.
Enough of that. Just saying.
Come on, man. That's a great song. They used that song awesome in that film.
Yeah. All right.
So. No, Peter, I do not hate Ringo. I just don't like a lot of his current music.
I'm sorry. I know. Isn't it tough to have to deal with that kind of thing? Like, oh, at least I hate Paul and everything.
Right. Back over to the UK for Tone, for his least liked track that everybody seems to love.
Well, I don't know if it's my least liked track, but certainly Yellow Submarine would definitely be one of mine. I can't bear it.
I love Yellow Submarine.
We like John's demo of it on the Revolver box.
Oh,
I
don't think so.
I'll tell you something. When I was a kid, when I first got into the Beatles, when I was 15, and I kind of came out at school as being a Beatles fan, where all my friends were all into prog and all that sort of thing. That's how they would tease me, by singing Yellow Submarine in my face. And I've never got over it.
But scarred.
That's funny.
But one of the songs that I think, like, everybody seems to really like, that has never done anything for me. And I don't hate it, but it's never been like up there. And I think it fits into the category that Joe's, you know, talking about, you know, everyone else seems to like it, but I'm not seeing it. And that's, It's All Too Much. I've never thought that was a fantastic song. But it seems that most fans really love it.
Yeah. Ollie, nobody hates anybody. Tone doesn't hate George. Tone doesn't hate George. I don't hate Ringo. We're Beatles fans. We're Beatles fans. Hate is not in our vocabulary. Come on. Come on with that.
Except for Heather Mills.
Oh yeah,
correct.
And maybe some people, Yoko, not me. But anyway,
not me.
Tone, anything else to add to that?
No, that's enough.
Well, interestingly, Interestingly, I used to, It's All Too Much used to be my worst, my choice for worst Beatles song. You know, I like it a lot better than I do now. As something that Tone was saying, when I was in school, freshman year in high school, just like 76, people were talking about Kiss and the Beatles. They're so old, they broke up, enough is enough, blah, 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 blah. And then one guy, I can still see him, goes, "We all live in a yellow submarine. Duh, yellow submarine, duh, yellow submarine, duh." And I tried to tell the idiot, you know, so many other people, even then I was like this. I'm like, you know, what, oh, but what a Helter Skelter, what about, anyway, I'm going with Little Lamb Dragonfly.
Oh, you're
Everybody
gone.
seems to love that
You're
song
gone.
except for me.
I knew it.
I muted him. I just muted him.
All
I'll unmute him.
right. There you go.
I can't. I said that, but go ahead.
Well, I thought you knew that about. I thought you were gonna guess I would say that, but that's just, you know, it's not like a classic hit song, but it is one that everybody seems to really gravitate towards, and I just don't love it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Some Lee wants to know, do you live at Blockbuster Video? Well, that's kind of hard because
Yeah.
Blockbuster's been gone for 20 years.
I'm glad you can do that with your background, Tom. I wish I had enough variety in here I could do that with, but
Yeah.
Let's catch up on some.
I'd say rearrange it, but you don't really have many options there, do you?
Fair
No.
enough. Fair enough, Woodland. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Blood Vessel says you're too much, Beatle Tone.
I know you see everyone is picking up on that. Everyone
Yeah.
loves
Nick doesn't
It's
like
All Too Much.
Joe's. Nick is not a fan of Joe's song.
No, but I'm with you, Tone. It's All Too Much. Used to be my choice for least. Now I think I put All Together Now instead, but that's another story.
Tone, what is with these English Beatles fans and these fantastic gardens? Tone has an amazing garden. James Griffiths, Dixon, all you guys have amazing gardens. How
I
can you
don't
explain
know.
it?
I can't. Well, gardening is the new rock and roll. So I'm into gardening. And if it's all right for George, it's all right for me as well.
Absolutely.
I can't talk for Andrew Dixon or James. I don't think I've had the pleasure of their gardens. But Andrew lives up north, and I'm down in the south.
In the south, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sitting in an English garden, waiting for the
Yeah.
sun to come. There you
Yeah.
go. All right.
I know a British guy who does nothing but grow marijuana leaves in his garden, but that's another story.
Oh, geez. All right. My question.
You don't have his address, do you, Joe?
You better not. You better not. All right. So
Don't want it.
my question is a little, we cheated a little bit this week. My question I sent to the panel earlier this morning because it involved some thought. It wasn't going to be a question I could just ask and let them come up with it in 2 minutes. It required some thought and planning. And I'm sure some of you have done this in the past with mixtapes or playlists. But my question was, and I'm very curious to see what some of your answers are, is the Beatles release, hypothetically, one final album in April of 1971, using only solo songs recorded and released during 1970 and up through April of 1971. Pick 14 songs, make your last Beatles album, and give it a title. So this was a quite an exercise, which is why I emailed these gentlemen this morning with that question to give them time to do it.
Last minute.
Yeah,
Yeah.
last minute of Joe, it took 10 minutes to do.
What do people have? We have plans today. We do. I had plans today anyway.
So this, I'm very curious to see what Tom, Tone, and Joe come up with. I'm sure we have a lot of the same songs, how they sequence them. What did they call the album? And using only that material. So I'm going to kick it over to Phoenix, Arizona, and hear what
Oh
my
boy.
partner came up with.
Thank you. Well, my uncle and I did this back in 1999, 2000. We did, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, and then we did 1980. So we had a lot of fun with this. So I kind of had a little bit of an idea of what I was going to do. I'm calling this album It Don't Come Easy because this exercise was not easy. So there's that. But yeah, we're leading off with Don't Come Easy. I'm also featuring songs that too where you know, maybe one or two, more than one a Beatle was on a track, or if, you know, or if it was worked on while they were a Beatle or whatnot. So it don't come easy. I got, they finally worked out All Things Must Pass. I got Mother, Junk, Another Day, Let It Down, and Hear Me, Lord. That's the first seven. Then we flip it over, and then we've got Coochie Coochie. We got Teddy Boy, Working Class Hero, I Found Out, Art of Dying, Maybe I'm Amazed, and I actually put accidentally put I Found Out on there twice, so I put Well, Well, Well as well.
And I forgot I Found Out. You believe it in my head, I'm going through the whole Plastic Ono Band.
Yeah,
record.
Because I wanted the better of the Ringo drumming performances on there as well. You know,
totally
what I mean?
Forgot about
so,
it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So that was that, my 14.
And you called the album. What'd you call it? I was writing it down.
It don't come easy.
It don't. You're calling the album It Don't Come Easy. Okay. And that's a nice listing here. Trying to we said 14 tracks to mimic, you know, the traditional UK. Tracks were 14 for most albums pre, obviously after Pepper changed, but they were 14 before that mostly. So over to Tone. What'd you come up with?
Okay, so I think I might have overthought this a bit. I've kind of made it like it was a proper album, so they were still together. So I'm trying to pick my favorite songs, but I'm also excluding things that I don't think that they would have done as the Beatles, especially at that time. So God is not in it, because they wouldn't have done that.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
I couldn't see the Beatles doing Working Class Hero, and I couldn't see the Beatles doing I Found Out either. But they are.
Oh, wow.
If I was picking my favorite songs, those three would probably be in it from that period. Okay, so side one. Okay. Also, I couldn't find room for It Don't Come Easy. As great as that song is, there's just too many. There's
That's
too
the
many
one that belongs on there.
So yeah, yeah.
For Ringo.
I know if it was a proper Beatles album, there probably would be a Ringo song on it. So I've kind of gone against my own rule.
Yeah, but real quick, Tom, but was real quick, because I also tried to do the 4-4-4 and then 2, you know, with the meeting with you know, in September of 69. So I tried to follow that as well.
Correct. Good call, Tom. But Tone, go ahead.
Okay, so side one, I'm opening with Instant Karma, and then it's Beware of Darkness, Junk, Isolation, Hear Me Lord, Remember, and Another Day. That's side one. Side two, opening with What Is Life, Maybe I'm Amazed, Love, Isn't It a Pity, Every Night, Look at Me, ending with All Things Must Pass.
Okay.
And I was really pleased with my with my album title, but I've just got a feeling that there is either an album or a bootleg called the same. I'm not sure. But I've gone for where is it? That way. Can you see that?
No.
Four sides.
Four
of
sides of the circle. It's a book, actually. It's a book.
Yeah.
Is it a book? Okay.
It's a book.
All right. I'm okay with that then. I thought it might have already been used as an album.
Four sides of the circle. You've got it coming out. That's a good title, man. Good one on you. Good choices. Joey, you're up. What'd you come up with?
Well, I did a lot like Tone did. I was trying to think, you can get crazy and say, well, would they have done this if they were still together or that, you know? And then I was thinking, like, I didn't think God, you know, as he said, God would fit and such. But there is one song I put that when I get to it, I'll tell you that I thought I put anyway. All right. As far as the title goes, again, I must be losing it as I get. I couldn't think of an imaginative title. I was going to look for a song title and call it that, like Another Day or something like that, or Instant Karma even. But I thought, hey, you know, they said they had been thinking of the title Everest. So, for Abbey Road, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, right, Abbey Road. Yeah.
Maybe they use it for this leftover title. So I picked Everest. And I opened the album with Another Day. Then I went into Instant Karma. Then Apple Scruffs.
Cool.
That makes sense. That makes sense because, I mean, obviously you're paying tribute to the fans.
The fans hanging around. Yeah. Then I went to a Don't Come Easy. That's my Token Ringo song on this one. Then I put Junk Remember by John.
Yeah.
And I ended side one with Man We Was Lonely. Then you flip it over. Side two, What Is Life to Open? Love from Plastic Ono Band.
Good one.
I put A Woman Oh Why as the third track.
Mm.
Beware of Darkness. Well, Well, Well. I put Maybe I'm Amazed. I had to put it, even though, see, that's a song to me. I wonder if they stayed together, if that song would ever have been written. But
right.
Mm-hmm. I put it on there anyway, because he still was going through that at the time, maybe anyway. Mm. Maybe mm-hmm. during they were getting, assuming that they were still having some problems, maybe first at 69. Yeah. Anyway, right. I closed the album with Isolation. And
Okay.
Closed it with what, Joe? Isolation?
Isolation.
Nice. And would you call the album Everest? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and they actually named after the cigarettes that I forget who smoked.
Jeff Emmerich, wasn't it?
Jeff Emmerich smoked those.
Jeff Emmerich. Yeah.
Well, then I'm changing my title. I forgot about that. No.
Yeah.
I don't like smoking. Now you reminded me. Right. And I forgot all about All Things Must Pass. I'm thinking of the albums. I'm going, what songs are on All Things Must Pass? And I forget that one.
You could just call it Everest, open brackets, nothing to do with cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yeah. My album I ended up calling, I called it Hottest Sun from the McCartney album. And I kind of did, I sequenced it with the two sides. Side A, I made a little more lighter and poppier. Side two, I made much more darker and heavy with the tracks. So I open it up with Instant Karma, like Tone and Joe also had. Then Into Another Day. Then My Sweet Lord. Every Night. It Don't Come Easy. Let It Roll. And Junk for side one. I also did the 4-4-4-2 thing, like Tom talked about, to get enough John, George, and Paul, and two for Ringo. Side two, we started off with Isn't It a Pity. Then go into Isolation. Then go into Mother, then go into Maybe I'm Amazed, then go into Love, then All Things Must Pass, and we close the album with Bye Bye Blackbird from Ringo.
That's right. That's a nice little upbeat touch. And again, I got to say, I had Every Night on my list. I was crossing off songs, and in the last mix, I forgot Every Night.
So I thought, you know, you got all those heavy songs, Isn't It a Pity, Mother, I said, All Things Must Pass, and then go out with Bye Bye Blackbird by Ringo to close the album.
Well, that's from the Sentimental Journey, right? That's the Sentimental Journey, right?
Yes. Album. Yes, it is.
Now, was that the one that Paul arranged for, or was that the Star? Or I think that was
Stardust. Paul arranged Stardust.
Arranged Stardust, yeah, okay. All
right. Paul arranged Stardust.
Who did arrange it though?
So that's, and that was to 4 for John, 4 for Paul, 4 for George, and 2 for Ringo. Yeah. If you had gone what they were going to try to do. So
I used to make these tapes too when I was a kid. I used to do all the years, all the 70s and into the 80s. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. all right. So there we go. So that was our fourth question.
I would think though that wasn't more or less, Isn't It a Pity though? Wasn't that more or less about, you know, the band itself, or you think?
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't include it, because I kind of felt like maybe they wouldn't do it because of the fact that it's kind of, you know, and then he does the you know, the guitar lick, you know, call and response with the lyric and the guitar, you know, kind of like to show Paul.
Yeah,
I'll show you, Paul.
Yeah, you don't know if these songs would have ever been written or recorded. So it, again, it's just a little fun game to play.
Yeah.
Just to try to keep them themed and stuff to do that. So that's our four questions, and we're going to now open it up to the comments, which some of you have already kind of put them in. Let's scroll back and see what a few people asked. I don't know if anybody noticed anything that they.
I can't see any comments. I'm using my phone here and I can't see anything. Yeah,
okay. My friend Julia on there said that's a bit George Heavy, Tone.
Well, how many did you have, Tone? Did you have four?
I had five, I think. But
okay,
this all things was past. How can you ignore it?
Yeah, how could you? You've got to have stuff. Yeah, and, off of that
and,
album.
And at least it answers Ollie's comment that I hate George.
Nick's got one at 2:34.
5:34. I'm gonna go back to Lee. I'm going back chronologically. Lee asks, if you had a choice for George's only track on Pepper, which would it be? With him, without you, only another song, or it's all too much? Kick it around, starting with Tom.
Yeah, I do enjoy Only a Northern Song and It's All Too Much, but I gotta say, you Within You Without You is, you gotta keep it. I think it's a great, fantastic track.
Keeping it. Okay, Sergeant Tone.
Pepper. Yeah.
If it's only one song, then I'm going with Within You Without You. I think it's so different, but it just fits that album, that time. I wouldn't change it for either. So especially now it's too much. But
yeah, especially now you don't like too keen on that track.
Yeah,
Joe.
My favorite song of the bunch is Only a Northern Song, but I think I would stick with Within You Without You.
Just to keep the album consistent. I think we're all on the same page with that one. We're going to keep Within You Without You on Pepper as intended. Who was the comment again, Tom? At a timestamp?
Oh, shit. 5:34.
Okay.
For Nick Sirrett.
Nick, okay. Nick asks, which one of you has the most copies of McCartney 3? Duh, that's an easy question. And is that the Beatles? No, and is that does. The Beatles related album you have the most copies of? Tom, how many?
I well, including the cassettes and the CDs and the dice box and the vinyl. I mean, I think I counted, it's like 17 or something like that.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Never been a beauty queen.
Yeah. Tone, how many do you have?
I got a feeling I'm going to come up lightweight on this. So I've got black vinyl, and I've got yellow and black splattered vinyl, and I've got the normal CD and the Japanese SMH CD of McCartney 3. That's it. That's all I got. Four.
Oh, four. Definitely. I think you will be. Tone. I'm sorry. Joe.
I don't want to be number one on this, you know, because the thing is, I had them all except for that first, the very first expensive, right, which is at a price range.
Yeah, that's
Third
nice.
Man.
Yeah.
Third Man, yeah.
And I was missing the Coke bottle. Finally, I got the Coke bottle. So anyway, long story short, I think that I'm the only one I'm missing is that one, that Third Man with the three dots. That's
right.
Expensive.
So Can you put a number on it?
No, I don't know the number, but I'll be honest with you. I don't care. I sold a few and then got them back. Like some like orange and blue, some of the boring ones. The ones that didn't have the dye on the cover.
Right.
I always thought they should have had all the dyes, the color of the vinyl.
Right, the color of the vinyl. Yes.
So whichever ones did not have the corresponding dye color, I said.
Right.
And then I wound up getting them back cheap.
I have probably about 10 on vinyl, then the 3 or 4 on CD and the cassette. I don't think that's the most copies of though. I probably have about 20 Rams in that shelf in there. So, and 20 White albums, but they're up there. And McCartney 3, I think, just because of how many times it was reissued, was going to be up there for how many copies it would be
it's
out there.
It's funny though. It's funny because when they were releasing those the die box sets. The boxes that had the pouch of dice in them.
The donut boxes, so
Yeah, the donut boxes. So it's like I got the red, the blue, and the yellow, you know, thinking that the white would be the last one to sell out. And sure enough, you know, the white ones sold out, so I'm short the white dice.
And that is the I forgot the other part of the question. That is the one I have Beatles related that I think I have the most copies.
Yeah, that was it. All right, Harry's got a nice question here. Out of all the songs John Lennon did demos for in the 70s, which one would you pick for the surviving Beatles that they could have done instead of the ones that they did record? This question has to, you have to have a real knowledge of the Lennon demos that he did between 75 and 80. Yeah. All that Between the Buttons period, and there's some great bootlegs of that stuff, so you have to kind of know that material inside and out to answer it. I'm going to defer to whoever wants to jump on it first.
Well, I have an answer, but the first one that comes to mind, and I'm not thinking of all of them, but is a song called Whatever Happened To, which is kind of, that's a little more developed. It's a little more up-tempo. That's one that comes to mind.
I could think of Tennessee, I think was a pretty good one that he did there on a ballad. Life Begins at 40.
What was the name with they had a boy and a girl's name in the title?
Sally and Billy.
Sally and Billy. But that became Only People later on. He worked that into.
Yeah.
Only,
okay.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Tone.
Go ahead, Tone.
I had to go and reference what is on disc 4 on the Lennon anthology to remind me of what songs. And as soon as I seen the name of it, I'm having it. Serve Yourself.
Oh sure.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. Serve Yourself. Be fun.
Well, that's a good choice, but the clean one. Clean one.
Yeah. I'm just gonna be boring and saying, you know, Now and Then, you know, just because, you know, there's so much history now with that song with the Threedles, and then now here it's just like almost okay. You do it now so we can just see, you know, what you guys do, what they did with it, you know.
Yeah, there was a lot. Mirror.
That's a good one too.
It's a song called One of the Boys that I like.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that he did during that period. I know you guys did a Talk More Talk on this period of demos. Good question, Harry. Thank you. Henry, if John lived, how do you think his musical career would have went, considering that he was experimental and open? Do you think he would have dabbled in newer genres like rap and stuff? I do. I think so.
I think he would have done so many different experimental things. I think he probably would have gotten back into some avant-garde stuff. He would have tried to maybe experiment with hip hop. I could see him maybe doing something like a Two Live Crew, just because that they were very political, you know. I can see him dabbling in all sorts of music, just like Paul. Absolutely. Well,
the problems I have with questions like that is that we always tend to go by how we know the person at the end. Like, we know John at 40. So we think he'd be that way in his 40s, in his 50s, in his 60s. Maybe he'd be very unpolitical, or maybe he'd switch politics sides.
Right. Yeah.
You know, who knows? So I really don't know. But I do tend to think generally he would be interested and open to trying these weird things, even like auto-tune weird sounds.
He would have. And he totally would have been into the technology. Yeah. I think he would have been. Yeah. For sure.
He would have definitely been into the tech, and I think he would have kind of gone with in a similar direction that Paul did. You know, if something that was current, you know, interested him, he'd want to experiment with it. And I think that he would probably, you know, dip in and out of political stuff as the time, you know, took him. But you know, just imagine having 20 more John Lennon solo albums.
Oh,
that's the thing that we've lost. That's what
I'll take six or seven.
Yeah. Here's a question from Ricardo. If you put Abbey Road last in the discography, where should Yellow Submarine be? I see it before the White Album. Tom?
Well, I mean, depends on where you're coming from, right? I mean, if it was an EP, wasn't it?
No.
Or am I thinking Magical Mystery Tour?
No, Yellow Submarine was just issued in January of 69 as a soundtrack. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I put it before Abbey Road.
You put it before Abbey Road, right?
Yeah.
Tone?
Yeah.
Well, quite a lot of the songs weren't they recorded and written in 67?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So there's a question there. Are they kind of between Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour?
Well, yeah, you've got It's All Too Much, Bulldog,
Bulldog.
Yeah.
Where does Bulldog fit? It's Bulldog 68.
February of 68.
That's before the White Album.
Correct.
Yeah.
Before they went to India.
I think when you think about it like that, then I can't really imagine it anywhere other than
being I think it's where it is because that's when the film film came out, so that's why the soundtrack is where it is.
But I get the question, and it's a good question.
Joe?
Well, I think it should be where it where they released it, how it is, you know, at the point in time where it is. But if you want to one day take chronological songs and say, well, where does Only a Northern Song go? You know,
oh, then, yeah, that's a whole different game you're playing.
That's a whole different thing. But the album itself,
where it is,
it belongs where it is, I think.
Yeah, good point. Kelly asks, what's a more enjoyable watch? Bruce McMouse, James Paul McCartney, or One Hand Clapping? This is always should get some great, great answers.
Question.
Great
good question.
I think for my money, I think you got to go for with One Hand Clapping. I think some of those performances were really top notch. And I think I would have really liked to have seen Jeff Britton stick around a little bit longer. I don't think he was that bad of a drummer. You know, I think Paul kind of bashed him a little bit during that Wingspan documentary, but I think he was all right. I think he did a great job. And I think One Hand Clapping is the more enjoyable of the three.
Tom? I'm not sure with Jeff Britton. I'm not sure. Was it so much to do with his drumming ability or more to do with the fact that he really clashed with Jimmy McCulloch and Jimmy?
He really
clashed with Jimmy McCulloch, and Jimmy McCulloch was definitely the one that he wanted to hang on to, and quite rightly so. I'm going One Hand Clapping as well, but I do love Bruce McMouse.
Joe?
I have not yet seen Bruce McMouse. But out of the other two, I prefer One Hand Clapping by a decent margin. The only thing I really like in James Paul McCartney is the Big Barn Bed opening.
You don't like Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance?
No.
I reckon most people wouldn't.
Or the sing-along in the pub.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of the best scenes.
It's funny, but I'd rather see Paul's.
Well, true. I'll go with Tom, and One Hand Clapping seems to be the best, you know, value for money there for a concert. You know, you see Paul in the studio working on all the good stuff. That's easily the better watch. Although we did Bruce McMouse on Two Legs a couple years ago, and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it.
I have yet to see it. Maybe I should have splurged for that instead of splurging for more copies.
Oh, you're still missing the Red Rose Speedway box set, right? Is that the one you don't have yet?
Correct. Well, no, I have. Wait a minute, is it on the actual regular archives? Are we talking about the big thing?
It's in the archive box set. It's in the regular box.
Then I have it.
Then you watch it.
And
you have it. Don't drink Diet Coke and make a video about it.
Right after I do all this and everything else I have.
Well, I mean, that's the only place you're seeing those early live performances. You know, it's great just for that, really.
The questions are coming in furious, so I want to try to keep track of them. Go ahead, Tone. Go ahead, Tone. What are you going to say?
I was just going to say, it's a funny old thing, the Bruce McMouse thing, because some of them are true, legit live performances, and some of them are mimes.
Right.
They're miming.
Yeah. I thought that thing was only on that extra big Europe thing.
No.
I didn't realize that.
No.
Marcus asks, if the Beatles reformed in the mid-70s, do you think that what would have been on the person to get it together? Because we've heard various points of each other saying that they didn't want to be the guy. So I guess he's asking, who would have been the person to get them all together?
Ringo.
Yeah.
No. No. He always was saying, if you watch Ringo interviews like I do, he always says, no way, no, like Phil Donahue and stuff. Why do you say Ringo, if I'm curious?
I don't know, because I mean, again, I mean, because I mean, he's probably got the smallest ego of the three. You know?
Well, he always was saying no.
Yeah.
He was always saying no. He was very adamant about no.
Tone, who do you think?
I think it would be Ringo, because Ringo probably had the most to gain by a reunion. And maybe he was saying no because he didn't really want to be the you know, to look like he you know, he wanted it the most, and he was just being a little bit coy with it. I don't know. Maybe he was saying no, but underneath he's really saying yes.
No. You guys got to, we'll talk about Ringo hate. You guys got to watch more Ringo and stuff in different countries over the time. You know, he's very, anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was willing to get it together. If anything, John sounded the most positive at times to me, and like, you know,
with at
the,
times, yeah, at Elliot times, Mintz, but not always. So, well, the Elliot Mintz none interview, of them were. Sure,
none of them were. So actually, I don't think any of them yet, to tell you the truth, at that time, you know.
No, I'm trying to find that one. There was a really great question here about session people. I'm trying to find that one. Hold on, here it is. Which solo Beatles album had the most session musicians on it? I'm guessing the Ringo album or John's Rock and Roll album. What is the panel?
No,
what do you think? I mean, but maybe All Things Must Pass, maybe, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch there.
McCartney, too.
And maybe the Ringo album or All Things Must Pass, right? They had a ton of guys, right?
They had a ton of musicians on there. Yeah, Ringo had, yeah. I mean, you look at members of the band, you had Klaus. I know Living in the Material World had a few there as well. But maybe Ringo. I mean, that might be it.
Tone?
I would have said that All Things Must Pass probably has got the most players on it. But you always get the story about the rock and roll sessions of, you know, this 30 blokes all playing different tunes at the same time, all playing out of tune or whatever. And, you know, things that went, you know, when people heard that they were doing the sessions down in LA, like everyone was coming down to the session sort of thing. But whether those performances ended up on the album, which I think that is what the question, because it's which solo album, when you actually look at the credits of the rock and roll album, there's not that many people credited on it. Yeah. I would go for All Things Must Pass. Loads of people.
Joe?
That could be. Yeah.
But this is a factual question. This is a trivia question. Like, what? There has to be an album that has the answer.
I think based on the number of songs and the number of people that you know, it's got to be All Things Must Pass. I don't. Think
yeah, I'm thinking that or Ringo. The first two that would pop in my head. I don't know which is true though. You know, but
well, there's a big crate behind me. I can go check it out. That I got a couple summers ago. It'll tell me. I'm sure it's all in there. JL, here's my question. It seems that Apple's working on commemorating the 60th anniversary of the Beatles later this year. How would you like to see this occasion feted? Tom?
Well, I mean, is that what they're going to do with Now and Then? You know, put it out as like a 60th anniversary of the band or coming to America? You know, I don't know.
I think we're seeing it with Now and Then, in whatever form that's going to be. That's,
exactly. Right. That's what it could be. You know?
I think that the 60th anniversary should be commemorated with box sets of Please Please Me and with the Beatles in a 1963. Set. I don't really think that we need something specifically career spanning for for the 60th anniversary. Just get those bloody box sets out.
If I may interject, let me get your opinion on this. What do we think about if Now and Then is bundled with a revamped anthology package that Peter Jackson could be working on? He's working on a film. What do we think of that? There's a whole new anthology reboot, Blu-ray, on Disney Plus, expanded with Now and Then. Yeah. Do we think that that's a possibility at the end of this year?
Well, I like that. Expanded is a key word. If it's expanded and there's a lot more too, not just the same stuff we had.
Right.
But then I would love it.
Well, there was that anthology bootleg, right? That has other clips in it that weren't used.
The director's cut.
The director's cut, you know, that has footage that they could easily, you know, do a new kind of anthology thing with video attached to audio. I mean, that would be cool. Get another Disney Plus thing. Yeah, why not?
I think that an anthology bootleg, like a reboot of the anthology documentary with extra material would be fantastic. But as far as the actual song Now and Then, I mean, that's got to be something audio, and I can't really see the point in a reboot of Anthology 3. I mean, there's a lot of people on my channel were talking about, you know, include Now and Then on where it should have been on.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that.
But also most of the tracks that were on Anthology 3 have already been out again on the box sets for the, you know, the White Album, mm-hmm. Abbey Road.
Yeah. And Let It we've gotten a lot of that material on all this. Yeah. So maybe Anthology 4? I mean,
I have a feeling that, I mean, out of nowhere, that's what they're gearing for, the surprise they're gearing for, something like that. With, you know, new stuff they can come up with in addition to that. I'm drawing a blank here. The concert audio that they had, they have now, from the 63.
The start.
Right. Oh, the Stowe School. Well,
the problem is, Woodland, there's not that much left, my man. We're trying to take the best what they can, scraping the barrel, you know.
Yeah.
Answering, if I may, when people say, not just you, Andy, but all people on my channel, they say, well, there's not much left. And I think, based on what we know of that so far, but things that have not yet made it to bootlegs, right, or been... how do we know there's still
right?
It's not stuff that maybe, but I wanted to go back to something JL Draw had said,
go
though.
Go ahead.
When he was asking about the 60th anniversary, I'm guessing he means the visit to America,
right?
64, he's talking about.
Yeah, he means the 60th anniversary, yeah. Not of the Beatles establishing. Well, maybe, I mean, that's this year. I mean, that's, well, you know, it was 60 years in 2022.
Right. So he's talking about, I think he's talking about.
He means America. Yeah.
America. In which case, I would like for one to see Mark Lewisohn have his next volume out. That would be a good time to put the 64 volume out of Tune In. And I would like to see a theatrical re-release, a big release of Hard Day's Night. And if they could do a Hard Day's Night and Help, I'd like a double feature. But I know that's not what we're looking for here. We're talking about releases. And
releases,
I guess
Anthology
4 with a lot of, whatever they call it, with a lot of new stuff would be nice. But
that stuff, especially when you look at the later albums, if they can dig up new stuff, this is going to be stuff that wasn't good enough to be on Anthology 3 the first time around. It then wasn't good enough again to be on as the extra material on the White Album and Sgt. Pepper and Revolver and Let It Be in those box sets. So what, you know?
You think so?
Maybe.
I just can't see them releasing Now and Then standalone. I can't see that.
No, I mean, no. But not, it might not have been enough room. I mean, what would you say of some of the stuff we got on the White Album extras that were new, and the Abbey Road extras that were new that were not on Anthology 3, you know?
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff, no? That maybe wasn't used yet.
James asked, with AI being used to separate instruments and speech, do they think they could finally bring out a live show DVD box set that could separate the Beatles from screams and enhance the sound?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you take some of that footage from Munich in Germany in 66. That's some, good quality footage there. JL, would you be interested in a reboot of The Red and Blue in both physical and digital media? Not really.
I'm done with that.
No. Yeah.
Not needed.
No.
I mean, did they still come in those stupid thick double CD cases, or did they ever put them in the Digipack?
They did in 2010. The Red and Blues got released in the Digipack.
The Digipack, okay.
Boo, Digipacks! Yay,
they did
jewel cases.
She meant how Apple views the 60th anniversary of the band itself.
See,
Apple has always genuflected to 1964 for some reason as genesis of the band. According to who and when?
How Apple views. Yeah,
well, to Americans.
To Americans, maybe. To Americans. But not, you know, their first single came out in October of 62.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, right. I don't understand that.
That, you know.
You're right. It's 62 was the 60th. 63 is the 60th.
Right. No. What's your favorite Paul Granny song? Oh, that's easy. You gave me the answer.
I'm going to go for When I'm 64.
I still really enjoy that song. So maybe I'd go with that as well.
Tone?
I don't know.
Honey Pie?
You don't have one?
I like Honey Pie. Yeah, I'll go for Honey Pie. I'm having that.
Yeah. See, exactly, Russ. The world got conquered in 64. Exactly.
Good point.
Yeah, we're not interested in that. Here's a question here. Paul's notorious for recording a track, playing all the instruments, and singing all the parts, but only one other Beatle has done this. Do you know who? Answer, George's Bye Bye Love. Didn't know that. Trivia.
Okay. There you go. That's a good one to know.
Yep. So here we go, Nick. Glastonbury update. Elton set is finished. Four special guests, but no Macca.
He did his Glastonbury show.
Right. Well, we didn't know if we were going to get an appearance. Right. Or maybe he would join the stage.
Who were the four special guests there, Nick?
Yeah, come on, Nick. Tell us who it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
We love you too, Laura. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That makes me cry.
Use When I'm 64 as our cake cutting song in 97. Very nice.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful song, especially considering how young Paul was when he started writing it.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote it when he was a teenager in Liverpool.
Yeah.
How do you think Venus and Mars would have been different at all? That's an unknown. You know, you can't answer that question. How could you, Tone? You would, because it never happened.
No, I don't know.
We don't know what we just don't know if John would have helped with some songs that he already had finished, or if they would have come up with a new song. We really don't know.
We don't know the direction of the album.
Right.
All new people I've never heard of. Okay.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I was actually really. I need to want to see. Hopefully, it's on YouTube. But Rick Astley Astley. Thank you. He did 16 Smith songs. That is what I want to go, see on YouTube. And those 16 tracks that he did, fantastic songs too.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
But we can't see it here in America, unfortunately.
A lot of people have been saying that Rick Astley's set and Spark's set, which I did catch quite a bit of, have been the best thing at Glastonbury. The two headliners, Arctic Monkeys and Guns N' Roses, were both awful, apparently.
Did you hear about some fellow, some poor chap, some Scotsman who had stage fright and lost his voice or something?
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Capaldi or something?
Yeah. Louis Capaldi. The young man. I saw about it on Twitter, but I haven't actually seen it. He apologized and had to cut his set short or something.
He's huge
here. You know, he's had big hits here.
Yeah.
But I think he's got some, he's got some mental health issues and stuff like that. He's got, and maybe just lost his bottle, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
That's too bad. I mean, that was probably the biggest show he probably would have ever played, too.
The crowd really supported him and rallied around him, and they helped him sing his songs and finish his set, which was nice for them to hear. I think we're wrapping up. So, how we feeling, gang?
We're great.
It's only an hour. We've only done it an hour, right?
It's only been an hour, but I think questions. Somebody would "Good Day Sunshine" be considered a granny song? No.
I say no. Also, I think it's on the verge, but it's considered a twee song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't consider it a granny song.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we kick it around and tell everybody what our guests and channels have been up to before we say goodbye. Let's go over to Tone.
My channel, I seem to be just talking about now and then quite a lot. We've just done a video about whether the three songs, Free as a Bird, Real Love, and Now and Then are real Beatles songs. And I kind of done some rationale to why I think that they definitely are real Beatles songs, but some people are still in denial. But they just don't really know why.
Yeah. Joe?
What can I say? I've done a lot of videos on my Mean Mr. Mayo channel about now and then also, and I had a Fab Gab show that you might want to check out with Beatly Tone on it and Kit O'Toole, and we discussed now and then.
Yeah.
But we, you know, more stuff of speculation and taking live questions and things like that. That's over on my Fab Gab section, which you can go in the playlists in order to access that show.
Okay. Tom, you want to speak on behalf of Two Legs?
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, speak too lowly of speculation videos, but they've never been my, you know, favorite thing in the world, but I can see the points of them, and they are fun sometimes. So, but I did watch some of your guys, the video that you guys did together with the Queen, and it was really good. So great job you guys on that video. And for Two Legs, you know, shit, I mean, we've done so much, right? We've had Ken Womack on, we had the great Chris Welch on, we had the Jew Sullen Kessler and Luca Parazzi all on within the last six, 7 weeks. Yeah, of last month. So that was a lot of fun to have these, you know, really important authors that are doing really good work, whether it's, you know, John or Mel and, you know, Paul. So, you know, good on you guys for that. In the future, we've got, you know, a Paul and George relationship show coming up with Owen Ling. That should be a lot of fun. And, so many more stuff. I mean, we just talked about Andy and I just mapped out our shows for July. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So be on the lookout. So you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Andy and I both have two separate channels as well. I have one called Tom's Movie Channel where you can, you know, hear me talk about, you know, a bunch of these movies that I have behind me. And I also join Joe every Tuesday night on his movie channel, which maybe he can talk about in a second as well, because he always seems to forget about it.
Well, you just told us about it. So
no, it's called Mayo's Movie Marquee. We need the name.
There you go. So check out our YouTube channels.
And I try to refrain from these long, long things. That's why.
Yeah, so much. I know. I get it. And then Andy, you got your channel as well.
Andy's Music Vault, The Other Leg. I've got two recent videos that I did in the last couple of weeks. I had some friends on. We actually went to a Barry Manilow concert, and it's doing very well in terms of views. It's got like 1,600 views or something, which for a little small channel like mine is good. And then I saw a Genesis tribute band, The Musical Box, which I did with my friend Bob as well on my own channel to do stuff outside of the Beatles realm on that. And that'll do it. So on behalf of my co-host, Tom Agnotti, our friend Beatly Tone, and our friend Joe Mayo, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to episode 5 of Stuck Inside These Four Walls. We will promote and have a date for our show next month, probably towards the end of the month. And we'll see you all next time, as the man says.
Thanks very much, everyone.
Cheers.
Thanks for watching.